I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness. From my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. We've got 2 hours and the clock is ticking. Play-ins, playoffs, mock drafts, players saying stupid things, owners saying stupid things. It's the kind of day you dream of. Let's do this.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
I've watched Kyrie since St. Patrick's High School in New Jersey. The game hasn't seen what his package is. Part-time, a quarter of the time, it's the time when he's on the court that is special to watch, because last night was different.
Now it's time to just really focus in on what the goal is, and that's to be in that winner's circle in the next 2 months or so and keep playing until June.
That's Kyrie Irving, and before him, Jay Will, giving you the Straight Talk in studio. Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Kyrie Irving was spectacular last night, and that's the only place that we can begin, in the borough of Brooklyn, where first and foremost, it was a tragic and frightening day. As I was leaving the studio here yesterday, I was first seeing the news that everyone saw of these horrible, terrible, frightening events that happened in a subway station. And miraculously and wonderfully, it does not seem anyone was killed in it. But first and foremost, our thoughts are with that. And it was here in New York, it was a very unusual day, obviously, with that game then scheduled to be played in Brooklyn. And so first and foremost, we wish the very best to everyone who was impacted by that, and a quick recovery to everyone who was injured. And then we turn our attention to the basketball game. And I tell you what, there may not be, as I bring together the assembled members of the hashtag crew today, hashtag Hembo, hashtag Nuno, hashtag Bubba, there may not be a more confounding player to try to talk about in sports than Kyrie Irving. Because the things about him that are frustrating, let's just use that as a term here, are evident, and they're a huge part of the package. They're impossible to ignore. They are sometimes so significant that it clouds a little bit of the judgment you have of him as a player. But then you watch him play and you realize, and Jay Will said this on Get Up With Me this morning, on the offensive end of the floor, I'm not sure he's not the best player in the whole league. Like, when he's going right, and a player of his size is never going to be able to dominate every single game. It's just not going to. He's, what is he, 6'2", if he's that? And when you've got a guy who's, you know, 7 feet tall, the way Kevin Durant is, there's a level of unstoppableness. But the things that Kyrie Irving can do with the ball in his hands, the things he can do on the offensive end of the floor when he's right, I'm not sure I've ever seen a player quite like him. And last night, he was ridiculous. His performance in the first half of that game last night was as good as you saw from anyone in the entire NBA this entire season. Nuno, let me start with you as my VP of Basketball Insight. How do we talk about Kyrie Irving on the morning after he played that game?
I think it becomes a lot of the what ifs, right? Because what if he was always engaged? Like, what if, like, I know he takes basketball serious, but, like, I would think if he was all in all the time and there wasn't the distractions off the court, like, he would have probably surpassed Steph as a lot of people's favorite player. You know, that short, that small guy. Like, and we would talk about, is Kyrie a top five, like, point guard, you know, ever, based upon his just ability. But unfortunately, part of his story is what happens off the court with him.
I think that's fair. And I think I actually agree with every part of it. For one game, let me ask you this question, Hembo. One game, or even a series, and your life depends on the outcome, and I'm telling you, you can either have Steph Curry or Kyrie Irving on your team. Which one are you taking?
I would still take Steph Curry. I still would. An MVP of the league, the best shooter we've ever seen. But for a single play, I think I would probably take Kyrie Irving, who I think, I sort of watch him play I view him as like an artist almost. And I think he has more, I think there's more beauty to his game than Steph. But I think in terms of the overall effectiveness, the efficiency, I would still take Steph for a single game or for a single season.
See, I think Steph's game is beautiful. I mean, the shooting is magical sometimes. But there's a clutch element to this. One of the things that sometimes goes unspoken about Steph Curry is that he wasn't the MVP of any of the finals they won, even the one before KD got there and was the MVP of those two. Andre Iguodala was the MVP of that finals. When the games get bigger, Steph doesn't always get better. Kyrie Irving has. He steps up in big moments. Part of it, I think, is that Steph cares more. I think sometimes when you care so much about something, that can go one way or the other. Kyrie approaches things with a nonchalance, almost an indifference, that I think is his biggest flaw, but might also, in the biggest moments, be his best quality. What do you think? Right now, Bubba, I'm asking you the question. One series, you can have either one of those two guys on your team. Which one are you taking?
I think I'm going to go Kyrie.
Because?
Just a feel. I think, kind of all the things we're just talking about, though. I think the stuff you're just bringing up with Steph, and I think just the Kyrie is just the mystery of Kyrie. He's just so good. He's an enigma, and I just want him. If I can pick one person, I just want him.
But here's the thing, Greeny. We know Kyrie, watching him, he's so good. He's so skilled. But how much of that is sort of a built-in advantage because he's on the floor with Kevin Durant? Like, we had the opportunity to see Steph with KD, and what we saw was the best basketball team maybe of my lifetime. This team in Brooklyn is not anything approaching that. Now, obviously, the ancillary pieces aren't quite there, but I think that needs to be said. Kyrie Irving is able to be amplified in some sense because he's on the floor with Kevin Durant.
Well, okay, so we'll make that Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. The two times in his career that Kyrie has looked like a player of this caliber, he was either a teammate of LeBron James or a teammate of Kevin Durant. That's fair. That's reasonable. And if he were the A, and clearly, let's not make any mistake, regardless of anything that I've said here, Kevin Durant is the A, and Kyrie Irving is the best B in the league right now on that team. And that's certainly not insulting anyone. Steph Curry was the B to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is one of the, I don't know, he's the greatest scorer I've ever seen. He's the greatest pure, if the objective is to put the ball in the basket, no one I've ever seen has ever done that better than he does. So that is a very good point to make in all of this. Kyrie has not been nearly as effective when he hasn't had those caliber of people around him. Now, for the most part in Cleveland, he was on terrible teams when he didn't have LeBron James there, both before and after. Or I guess he didn't last after, because he went to Boston immediately. The Boston thing was a disaster. Most of the things that are problems with Kyrie have to do with his determination, to whatever degree you question the level of priority that all this is in his life. And I can't sit here and tell you what that is. I can't put myself in Kyrie's head. I don't know that anyone can put themselves in Kyrie's head. He is a complex dude to try and figure out. But man, he's magic. I mean, you watch him last night and he's just spectacular. And last night is the reason I can't pick against that team. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. I will tell you in advance that our social media people at ESPN sent me a note, and not just me, but any number of ESPN's talent, and asked us to give a prediction on who will be in the finals and who will win and who will be the MVP. And they're going to send us these cool-looking graphics, and I will post it whenever I get it. I don't have it yet. But I will just give it away. As I went through it all, I can't pick against them. I have them in the finals. Now, would I be willing to bet on that? No, I would not. I would definitely not bet any amount of money that mattered to me on the Nets, because they're just so undependable that to depend on them feels like a mistake. But just sitting and watching and saying, all right, now they go against Boston. Boston is a great defensive team. Boston, since Christmas, has been as good as any team in the NBA. They have two legit superstars on their team as well, including Jason Tatum, who is an MVP caliber star, and Jaylen Brown, who is an all-NBA. I agonized over not putting him on my third team all-NBA. He's that level of good, and they don't wind up having to deal with Toronto at this point, so it doesn't make any difference that he's not vaccinated. So they'll be able to play. And their defense is great. I mean, it's a 2-7. There's no reason in the world, under normal circumstances, to even consider not putting the Celtics through to the next round. But who among us is willing to do it? Right now, Nuno, if you had to bet amount of money that mattered to you, and I'm not suggesting anybody does, because to me this is a toss-up Nets-Celtics. But if I'm making you right now pick one team or the other in a 7-game series between these two, Nuno, which way are you going?
I'm leaning the Nets at this point.
Because
of those, not only because of those two guys, but yes, Durant yesterday hit those two dagger shots when it got down to what, 6 to extend the lead to 10. But like, there was two plays, Claxton ended up getting a big dunk off a Bruce Brown pass. Like, so those guys kind of stepped up. Like, that kind of was those moments of like, yes, you have Kyrie and yes, KD, and it's taken a lot for them to beat the Cavs. But there was these other guys making these winning plays late in the game, and that kind of what concerned me with as good as this, you know, Marcus Smart is, and I know Legs on Get Up said that, hey, he's the key. He might be the key for any team in the playoffs. I'm still concerned about he's going to throw up some bad shots and like kind of not knowing his offensive role. And that's what's going to, you know, put the Nets over. So like, that's why I'm unfortunately leaning towards the Nets.
Why do you say unfortunately?
Well, I mean, cause I want this to blow up, Greeny. I want them to like be embarrassed, and I want to like storylines of, you know, do the Nets like extend Kyrie. Like, I want all that good stuff. Like, in them winning this, at least as a Knicks fan, doesn't give me that good feeling.
Bubba, Nets, Celtics, who do you like?
I'm going to go with the Nets.
Two picks for the Nets.
Let's do it.
Hembo, you're the only chance Boston has on this set. Who are you picking in this series?
I'm taking the Nets as well. I think Brooklyn wins the series. This is a coin flip series to me, though. And if you're determining then sort of between the margins, no Robert Williams for Boston, who might be the best defensive player in the NBA,
mm-hmm.
who'd be really useful to have in this series, and you might get something out of Ben Simmons, which is you know, crazy to think about in the grand scheme of all this. But I guess sort of given those things as tiebreakers, I think the Nets, I don't think they're capable of winning as many series as you do, but they're definitely capable of winning this series, and I think they will.
Well, the winner of that series, of this series, Nets Celtics, would get the winner of Bucks Bulls, in which the Bucks are a prohibitive favorite. So the Nets could not have a harder draw, and they deserve it. They had a terrible season for a million different reasons. They absolutely don't deserve an easy path anywhere. So they have to do it the hard way. So they have to open with Boston, which has been as good as anybody. And then if they could win that, they got to go through the defending champs and Giannis. And they absolutely deserve for that to be in their path. But I just can't pick against them. And I agree, it's also not just KD and Kyrie. But there will be a game somewhere along the line they win because Seth Curry makes 7 threes. Like, somewhere along the line, Seth Curry is going to make 7 threes. You know who else is going to win them a game somewhere? Goran Dragic. There's going to be a game that we wake up the next day and we're sitting here and we say, the Nets won that game because he is on their team. Mm. And Drummond is a piece, and Bruce Brown is a piece. They're not that bad. They're good. They have decent players around those two guys, and those two guys are so good. It offends me to my core to say this, but when they are engaged, they are unstoppable. Now, they should be engaged all the time. They get paid tens of millions of dollars a year. It would be nice if they could be bothered to care before the playoffs start, but I can't change that. What I can tell you is that every person on this show thinks they are going to win this series. We'll see. I'm Greeny. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance flexes to fit your business's needs, from quick repairs to adjustable coverages and even payment options. Progressive Commercial makes it easy to get what you need. Quote today in as little as 6 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. Up next, Mel Kiper has a mock draft out. Some very interesting stuff, particularly up near the top. We'll get to that and more in just a moment. You're listening to Greeny, and this is ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Here he is, the one, the only, Mel Kiper Jr. Good morning, Mel.
Good morning, Greeny.
Well, I'm looking forward to this like I can't even begin to tell you. Last year was my first go-around, and we were freezing in Cleveland. I have a feeling we will not be freezing this year in Las Vegas, Mel.
Sweating.
We will likely be sweating. That's correct. We will go from one extreme to the other. Again, the draft was supposed to be in Vegas a few years ago. They weren't able to do it because of COVID, so this should be a celebration par excellence. And we have got Mel's latest mock draft, Mock 4.0, which is available right now. And let me go through some of the things in it that I think are particularly interesting. You have the Lions at number two, taking the corner, Ahmad Gardner, everyone calls him Sauce, out of Cincinnati. And that's quite high, obviously, for a player at this position. It would require him being really that level of special, Mel. So for the fans who don't know much about him, is this guy... What can you tell everybody about Sauce Gardner, why he's worthy of going that high in this draft?
He checks every box. In order to be ahead of Derek Stingley Jr., and you know about what happened with Derek Stingley Jr., mm-hmm. COVID year, then the injury, after a phenomenal 2019 campaign. So I would have never thought Greeny, after 2019, would ever be talking about a corner ahead of Stingley, okay? What it took was a Sauce Gardner come along, who not only was a great player, I mean, he didn't give up anything. He gave up nothing. Teams didn't even try to attack him. They gave up. Okay, and also had nine career interceptions, even with that, 3-3-3. So 9 career interceptions, 3 each year. Then he tests well, great kid, aggressive, tackles. Like I say, every box for a corner you want to see, he checks. That's why he's up there in the stratosphere of this draft. That's why everybody I talk to in the NFL says, oh, he's one of the top 3-4 players in this draft. You could make an argument he's the best player in this draft. So even though, you know, you look at the Lions, you say, well, you know, Okuda a couple years ago didn't work out great. You got to have corners. You got to cover these guys, and their defense was historically horrible, okay? Mm-hmm. So I think Sauce Gardner over a defensive lineman is a little bit of a curveball, but it's certainly possible.
And then the next, that would leave, because we've talked about this, that the New York teams really control the first 2 hours of draft night because the Jets have 2 picks. And by the way, in Mel's mock, he actually has the Jets trading up into the end of round one and so, thus taking 3 players mm-hmm. in round one. But that being said, the Jets and the Giants then will have 4 picks between them, between number 4 and number 10. You have the Jets taking Kayvon Thibodeau, the defensive end out of Oregon. Tell everybody about him because this scares me to death. I told you this when you and I were talking this morning on Get Up. He's a player that could go one way or the other. And it has just been too much of my history that when Jets take players who could go one way or the other, they always seem to go the other.
Let's hope they go one way, which is up. And let's hope that we break that streak, Greeny. I don't like the pessimism here, but Thibodeau may be hearing a lot of this negativity, too. And I like that aspect of a guy coming in with a bit of a chip. Is he perfect? No, he's going to have to be coached. And then he doesn't have great bend. He's not Myles Garrett. He's not even anywhere close to Garrett. Nobody has ever been Myles Garrett coming off the edge with the bend. He's like that speed, you know, back in the old days when you watched the guys that were coming on those speed skating and all the different, how the bend and how low they get. Mm-hmm. Okay, to me, I don't think Thibodeau is a guaranteed, you know, 10, 12, 15 sack a year guy until the wide array of pass rush moves develops. And maybe he will, maybe he won't. Okay, people say, well, he has other interests. Is he focused enough? We'll see. All of it has to come together. All I know is he's a talented kid. His get off is better than anybody I've seen in a while. Okay, his power is outstanding. He can play inside, outside. He can be versatile. You can move him around. He's very disruptive inside. So for me, he's going to go. Greeny, we can debate whether he's a boom or bust or better than that, whatever, but he's going to go by 7. Some think he could go as high as 2 or 3. He was number one coming out of high school, number one coming into this year. He played after being hurt against Fresno State. He's going to be a guy we're going to be following. And we do it with most of these defensive linemen, Grinny, every year. People were ripping Myles Garrett. When he was going to go number one, I was battling on a set to defend Myles Garrett, who's going to be the number one pick overall. There you go.
Yeah, and now he, you know, is a guy who looks like he's a perennial MVP or defensive player of the year at least. So I agree with you with that. At number 5, you have the Giants taking Ike Ekwonu, the offensive tackle out of NC State. And candidly, I think I've come to feeling like if he's sitting there at 4, that's who I want the Jets to take because he feels like the safest pick in this draft. We all know the history of offensive linemen always being this, you know, the safest position, the highest hit rate, all the rest of that. He feels like the safest position in this draft, and getting an outstanding offensive tackle, which in this case the Giants would get, putting him either on the left side or the right side, it doesn't feel to me there's ever a bad time to do that, Mel.
Well, it wouldn't be, but you already have Mekhi Becton. If he's going to be your left tackle, and if they feel good about him, Fant on the right side did a good job. You got Vera Tucker, who you made the move to get last year. You got Tomlinson. You need the center. We'll get the Linderbaum at the end of the first if they were able to make a move to get him. Maybe he could even still be there. We'll see with the short arms. That's why he's dropping. But I think when you look at Ekwonu, great player, arguably – you could make an argument he's the best player in this draft. Yep. Certainly no worse than 2 or 3. He can play left tackle, guard, right tackle. He can play anywhere. Even though I thought he was a great left tackle, so why not play him there? But they have Becton. And if they feel good about Becton, then you go a different direction. You try to improve the defense.
And then you have the Giants taking Ekwonu there. So that works out extremely well
perfectly
for them.
Yep.
And that brings us to 6. And you have Carolina taking Malik Willis, the quarterback, out of Liberty. And basically, the two quarterbacks who we expect to go 1-2 in either order in this draft are Willis and Kenny Pickett from Pitt. And the reason I was a little surprised you gave Carolina Malik Willis is that it feels to me like the logic of Carolina taking a quarterback in this spot is because they want someone to play immediately, essentially to try and save the coach's job. He is, according to all of you guys, not that Kenny Pickett is the guy who's much more ready to come in because he's played so much more football, et cetera, that he's the guy who's much more ready. So why Willis over Pickett in the top 10?
Why not take the guy that you think could be the best quarterback when we're looking back on this draft 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now? If people would have done that, maybe they would have taken Josh Allen over some of the quarterbacks that went ahead of him. Maybe they would have taken Justin Herbert over, say, Tua. Maybe, you know, I can go back into time. You could say the most talented quarterbacks have won out. Okay, you go back to Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes when Mitch Trubisky went number 2, and they didn't. Okay, they were down the line from where Mitchell Trubisky went. So these mistakes have been made when the talent hasn't won out. Lamar Jackson was the end of the first round that same year. Okay, so again, I'm going with the talent. I'm going with the high character. I'm going with the guy who wants to be great. Yes, he's not perfect. He's coming out of Liberty, okay, after being at Auburn. Yeah, he needs a little bit of work, maybe a little bit of time, but Kenny Pickett's not this phenomenal quarterback. He's a good quarterback. He's going to be 24. He's got 49 starts, coached by Mark Whipple. I get that, but he's not elite. So you take the guy who could be a home run or a grand slam over maybe the single or double. How's that, Greeny?
No, that's right. And but the only I agree with you, actually. But in this case, what most people perceive is that the coaching staff is trying desperately to hold on for dear life.
And Kenny Pickett's going to save their jobs.
Okay. Well, you did say that in our meeting the other day.
Kenny Pickett going to beat out Sam Darnold? That's the other thing. Sam Darnold's been written off as this joke of a quarterback when he had a bad hand dealt to him with the Jets. He had a bad hand dealt to him in Carolina when McCaffrey got hurt. And the offensive line was horrible. Okay, they've addressed it already with a center and guard coming in. So, again, Sam's 20. He's a young kid. He's still very young, and we're going to kick him to the curb. It'll be interesting if he beats out Pickett, right? And if Willis was there, you would have a different scenario because if Sam's the guy and Willis isn't quite ready, then that's fine. Once Willis is ready, maybe Sam turns out to be really good. Willis is there to be the guy. Pickett's not going to be – you're asking an awful lot, Green. You think Kenny Pickett's going to come in with Carolina and be a better quarterback right away than Sam Darnold is? If he is, more power to him. I think it's asking a lot.
Yeah, and Darnold is only like not even a full calendar year older than Kenny
Pickett. Pickett's older than Jordan Love.
He is. He's going to be the fourth – when he gets drafted in the first round, he'll be the fourth oldest quarterback ever drafted in round one. Again, Mel's 4.0, two-round NFL mock draft, which is just must read, is on ESPN Plus right now. Go see it, and we will talk much more about this as we work our way toward towards it. Mel, thank you as always.
Have a great day, Granny. See you, pal.
That's the great Mel Kiper Jr. Try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G and America's best networks. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. Next.
The Scoop.
All right, this happened, and I think that this is... It's one of the things that I missed while I was away that I think is very interesting, and I wanted to get some takes on it. So you might recall last year, some members of the New York Mets who got tired of being booed by their own fans adopted this thumbs down thing, which aggravated me no end and everybody else, sort of their way of letting the fans know they didn't like it. Well, Alec Bohm of the Phillies has said to the Mets, "Hold my beer." As he was on camera. Now, how many errors did he make in this game?
He wound up making three errors, two before the incident that you're going to talk about right now.
Okay, so he has made two errors in a game at home. He makes a routine play. Talk me through this, because I was just reading it while I was away. Makes a routine play, and the crowd gives him sort of the sarcastic cheer.
The crowd goes wild after making the easiest, like, 5-3 put out you could ever imagine.
So they're busting his chops.
Mm-hmm.
His well-deserved busting of chops, because he's made two errors in the game, and he is caught on camera. I know you'll have to clean it up a little bit, but basically what did he say?
He said, "I bleeping hate this place." That's the exact quote. "I bleeping hate this place."
And to be clear, this was not said in a press conference. This was not said in the locker room after the game to reporters. It was not something that he intended for the public to hear, but it was picked up by microphones on the field. And so he's basically saying he hates the place that he himself plays. Now, I have some sympathy for him, because I think if there was a microphone that picked up every word that is ever spoken in the middle of every game, there'd be a lot of guys who have to apologize to their fans for the things that they say. But this is the reality of the world in which we live. We have an expression in our business: every mic is a hot mic. In his case, I think you have to be prepared that everything you say during a game might be heard by someone you don't intend. So he's got to apologize to, of all people, the fans of Philadelphia. How, as my favorite Philadelphian here, Hembo, how are the fans handling this?
The fans are handling it differently than I might have expected. So last night, Alec Bohm did not get the start against the Mets, but he did wind up pinch hitting late in the game. Do you know what the fans did when he was announced? They stood and they gave Alec Bohm a standing ovation
last night
at Citizens Bank Park. Now, I was not there, obviously. I was not watching on TV at that point. It was pretty late in the game. But there was probably a mix of, like, sort of good-heartedness, right? And also probably some sarcasm, but maybe that's showing like a little softer side that some of the country does not know about Philadelphia.
Maybe it's also saying, five games into a season. If we want this guy to play well, we got to show him a little bit of support here. See, I'm willing to give him the slack on the fact that it's one thing if he gets up there like Lee Elia once famously did. If these are the real Cub fans, you know, they can kiss my you-know-what on Michigan Avenue, all that stuff. Then he's talking publicly. In Bohm's case, this is just a momentary frustration that he feels when being booed. And I get it. Look, I've never been booed, so I don't know what that must feel like. But when he's made two errors, I have to believe the most upset person in the world about that is him himself.
Mm-hmm.
So here is a vulnerable moment. I'm actually willing to give him some slack, and I'm pleasantly surprised to hear that it feels like it has something of a happy ending in Philadelphia, at least for the moment. Is that an accurate representation?
I think so. So after the game in which he said this and was caught on camera, he admitted to saying it. So it would have been very easy to deny it. He said, "I said what I said. Did I mean it? No." I take exception to that.
I have the soundbite. Let me play it. Here's what he said. This is his apology.
"Emotions got the best of me. You know, I said it. And do I mean it? No. And it's a frustrating night for me, obviously. You know, made a few mistakes in the field. And look, these people, these fans, they just want to win. And, I mean, you heard it. We come back. They're great. And I guess I'm sorry for them. You know, I don't mean that. And emotions just got the best of me."
So you actually love this place?
Yeah. You know what? I do. Yeah.
So that's what he said afterwards. Why do you have a problem with that?
I don't have a problem with it, but he's not telling us the truth. The truth comes out in moments like that. So in a moment of adversity for Alec Bohm, he wasn't thinking about, like, oh, how can I fix this problem? Like, I can't throw the ball to first base. He was thinking about his environment. And that's an interesting part about playing in Philadelphia, because the fans can affect performance if you're not tough. It's a different kind of town. It's a different kind of city. I genuinely believe when he said that on the field, he meant it, and he backtracked appropriately after the game. But you don't say that kind of thing if you don't mean it in the heat of the moment.
I get it. But you can also only mean it in the heat of the moment. Like, in a calm moment, do I think he's sitting there thinking, I hate playing here? Or maybe he does, but because, as you said, it's not for everyone.
Mm-mm.
But I also, I'm willing to give him a pass on that. Like, in that, when they're booing me, I freaking hate these people. And then, like, you know, 10 minutes later, you're like, all right, anyway, you know, they're probably right to boo me. I'm upset with myself as well. I'm willing to give him a pass. Nuno, I just really want a quick take from Nuno on this before I run to other things. Nuno, what is your take on the Alec Baum fan? Look at the smile on his face.
God.
Go ahead, Nuno.
Alec, we all freaking hate Philly. So you're good, bro. You're good.
Okay.
And, Hembo, what did he do in that at-bat yesterday? Bubba wants to know.
I don't want to talk about it.
What did he do?
He struck out, right?
No, he grounded out.
Oh,
he
grounded
second.
Out. Well, grounded at least, out. So someone fielded the ground ball and threw him out. How perfect.
Fair enough. Had he hit it to himself, he would have thrown it into the seats. As we continue, coming up next, we're going to do something that doesn't get done enough in sports. We're going to give credit where it's due.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We live in a culture now where there's a lot of criticism all the time, and that's just the way it is, and it's fair and it's reasonable, and we do our share of it here. Right. On this program, we are willing to call them as we see them. And when someone does something that is worthy of criticism, then I'm more than comfortable with us calling that out. However, what I think there's not enough of is the flip side of that. There's not enough of giving credit where it's due, particularly with like super powerful people. We never want to give super powerful people credit where it's due. But Hembo said something to me in the office this morning, and I realized we should just say this on the air. He just looked at me, and we were talking about last night's games, and we're looking ahead to tonight's games. We'll have them on ESPN for you, by the way. I've got countdown tonight, 6:30 Eastern. And then we've got Atlanta, Charlotte, followed by San Antonio, New Orleans. And Hembo just looked at me and said, the play-in is a great idea. Like, the play-in tournament, this is what, the third year of it now, I think? Or second year? Or whatever year of it is.
It's just the second year of it, isn't it?
Is it just the second year? Was last year the first year? The year before was the... Was the bubble.
The bubble.
So whatever it is, second year, third year, whatever year of it is, notwithstanding, it's just a great idea. It enhanced the end of the regular season. It gives a good jump start to the playoffs. It gives an advantage, a big advantage to these teams who don't finish 7 or 8, so they get this week of rest and health and everything else. Imagine if Dallas with Luka and a strained calf right now has to play a one and done game. So finishing where they finished, in their case, fourth, winds up making a very big difference. So, like, it's just a great idea, right? Is that right, Nuno? I mean, the play-in, let's just credit where it's due. People don't like to give credit to Adam Silver because he's a rich, famous, powerful person. And he makes decisions sometimes we disagree with, and you live with it. But let's give credit where it's due. This was a good freaking idea, right?
No, it's a great idea. And I also, that's why the thought of an in-season tournament is something that I'm for, because it adds an excitement to the regular season and so forth. And that's why I think the Lakers crashing out and burning is a disappointment, because this is built for teams like that, and they couldn't make it.
Yep.
So, like, I think the one thing, and I know they were talking about it yesterday during the game, is that Kyrie went what started the game 12-for-12, and yeah. It's not a playoff record because it's not a playoff game.
Right. That's correct. Those games are not considered playoff games. They're play-in games, and that's fine. One way or the other, that was a major change in a sport, and a good one. It isn't the biggest change we're going to see to any of our most popular sports. Did you see what Dabo Swinney said? This was another thing that happened over the weekend while I was away. Clemson football coach Dabo Swinney said he thinks a lack of uniformity will lead to a complete restructuring in college athletics at some point soon. In particular, he sees the larger, more prominent Power Five schools forming their own division in football. Quote, I think there's going to be a complete blow up, and there needs to be. I think eventually there will be some type of break and another division. Right now you got everybody in one group and it's not feasible. Alabama has different problems than Middle Tennessee, but we're trying to make them all the same and it's just not. I think you'll have 40 or 50 teams and a commissioner and here are the rules and that'll be it. And I think he's 100% right. I've been saying this for a long time, Hembo, that the sport on the verge of the biggest change is going to be college football because the way they go about their business makes no sense. Middle Tennessee and Alabama, there's a reasonable schools to pick. You could pick a lot of others. Shouldn't be playing by similar rules. Let the five big, let the 60 or 70 or whatever it is teams that really matter in the country go form their own division, their own thing, make up their own rules about amateurism, however it is that they see fit. Let everybody else play their own football. I think that that actually is the right thing if they get it right, and that is definitely on the horizon.
I agree with that. There's no obvious reason to me why college football, at least high-level college football, needs the NCAA for anything. If anything, I think the NCAA has suppressed that sport, at least in recent years, because we've seen with the playoff and now NIL, there is just an unimaginable amount of money to be made, and there's so much interest that I think if those five conferences, I think we might even wind up having fewer conferences than five, there might even only be three or four, decide they want to do their own thing, I think it would be an objective good, and that way the group of five teams and those that don't want to swim in those waters have a chance to compete for something more meaningful, and then they're not swimming in that same pool with, you know, Alabama and Clemson and teams like that.
Yeah, and I think in the big picture it is beneficial. And does it mean that those smaller schools will have no chance to compete? They don't anyway. So, I mean, don't let Cincinnati fool you. That happens once every however long. I mean, this is, I don't think that it is worth blowing up an entire system so that once every 15 years, one team gets some shot at it. This isn't basketball, where it makes sense to put teams on the same floor with each other because you never know what St. Peter's might do. Football is an entirely different animal, and it just I think that the time has come. Now, the question about how professional it will be, how much money is involved, and will that change people's perspective, those are interesting questions that they'll have to answer.
For sure. But using Cincinnati as our example, they've had a great stretch under Luke Fickell. They're going to join the Big 12. That's still going to be an option
right. For
teams. It makes so much sense for college football to almost secede, and I think it would make the sport.
They could have relegation.
So much more,
they could have relegation.
They could actually do it.
They could actually. We keep talking about it. Relegation is something we need in American professional sports. This would be something to do with the professionalization. You move up Cincinnati and someone gets
Kansas,
bumped down.
You're out.
Think of the pressure that is involved on these schools because of the money that's involved. Anyway, I'm only half kidding about that. We'll see one way or the other. Coming up, I'm going to pick the entire NBA playoff bracket. We're going to attach the ultimate KOD to one NBA team. Next.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.